Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
I have one thing I would like to ask Commissioner Calkins in all respect. On the record, do you or do you not have a concealed carry permit in the state of Florida?
Mr. Wright, let me ask you, why is it your business, why is the government going to ask me whether I have a concealed weapons permit or not? I will not answer that question to you. I'll answer it to the citizens. So okay. I think you're trying to create a distraction, and I don't appreciate that. And I think we should stick with the subject, so I'd like to...
For the record, you did tell me no, or you told me yes.
None of your business.
None of your business. Now, this was back in February, but that was the precursor to what took place yesterday in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. That was Colton Wright and James Calkins. Remember when we were talking about all these, like, support by the county for these various pro-gun measures put forward by Anthony Sabatini, a legislator elsewhere in Florida, and we were having this conversation about what's the role of the county? Should it be involved in all this stuff? And, of course, Commissioner Calkins is emphatically pro-gun all the time, and also all the other four commissioners are as well. And Colton Wright's like, hey, you got a permit? And he says, I'm not answering that question. He said he would answer to the citizens. I've called and asked him, and he wouldn't tell me either. He doesn't think it's appropriate for anybody else to know but himself. So that's, you know, you read that how you will. But this came up yesterday, Matt Nolan pressing. And here's the why, okay? The why is because of this feud between James Calkins and Dan Schebler, most recently over the failure to apply by the county for these SCOP funds, the Small County Outreach Program for funding for roads, $1.4 million project that didn't get applied for, that maybe should have been applied for, and we might have gotten the money, possibly, but Calkins and a lot of other people are treating it like Dan cost the county $1.4 million and he ought to be fired. I certainly do not take that interpretation. But so this is like a active feud going on right now in the county commission. It's not particularly healthy or helpful, but anyway, that was the background to this concept or this comment by Matt Nolan.
So my question is, on February 4th, 2021, in the BOCC evening meeting, at approximately 5 hours and 42 minutes, it was one hell of a long, excuse my language, one heck of a long meeting. You were asked by Commissioner Wright, and I quote, do you have a concealed carry permit for the state of Florida? And you told him, at five hours, 42 minutes, 57 seconds, I will not answer that question to you, but I will answer to the citizens. So, Mr. Calkins, I'm your citizen asking you on February 4th, 2021, and today, do you have a carry concealed permit for the state of Florida? Please answer that question for me, sir. You said that you would answer a resident or a citizen. That is me today.
He did answer. He did say that he would answer the citizen, okay? I told you, I followed up with him, and he wouldn't tell me. And so Matt Nolan says, okay, here we go.
I fully believe what this is right now is a hit job.
Sir, it's a question.
No, this is a hit job.
Sir, it's a question. It's very simple.
And for clarification, I would like to say that you coming up here and, you know, attacking, basically saying what you're saying is a hit job based on the last meeting and what I was for.
But he did not answer the question. He would not answer the question. And so the point of that was, well, did you misspeak when you promised to answer that question, or did you lie to us? And which is kind of what he's been saying about Dan Schebler. Now, this got into, like, Calkins accused Dave Peach, the county commission chairman, of orchestrating the roll order of the speakers, which he has no ability to do and doesn't do. And I mean, this is now at least the second time that Calkins has said Peach is out to get him or is doing things to undermine. I mean, it's just crazy times. It really is crazy times at the Santa Rosa County Commission. Now, this got really, really heated to the point where basically Dave Peach had to warn people that this is you got to simmer down in the audience.
If you keep disrupting the meeting, the deputy's here to maintain order and decorum at this meeting. We will ask you to step outside until you could come back in and be a part of an orderly meeting. Now we're going to Mr. Beckman, his turn at public forum. Mr. Beckman, you're up.
Cover up.
That's Calkins saying that it's all a cover-up, okay? So here's a longer interaction where Commissioner Calkins is pressing Administrator Schebler on the question of who made what choice, was there a choice made, was it an oversight, exactly what happened. Here goes.
Mr. Schebler, would you please answer my question?
What was the question, sir?
My question is, you said you made a decision to not file scope funds. That's what I interpreted as at the last meeting. This is new because it was the last meeting when you apologized. And so I want to get an answer on, did you make a decision to not file scope funds?
I believe I just answered that. I said we made a decision as an organization.
Not to file scope funds. What is the reason why you'd make a decision that cost us potentially a lot of money? What was the reason for that decision?
It didn't cost us any money. It cost us an opportunity, which has been covered and explained.
Okay, but why would you make that decision? That's what I'm trying to ask, because this is a potential to get a lot of money. So, and we want you to make good decisions.
I think I've answered that question. We made the decision based upon the priorities and the things that the Public Works Department was reviewing at that point in time with a new director that came on board the end of December. Administration is not normally part of this process.
And he told us a little bit more about this earlier in the show and talked about the changeover going on and the fact that it was post-Hurricane Sally and, you know, their hands were full and a lot of new personnel and all that. But here's how the conversation ended, to a degree. I mean, this was like Act 1, Scene 2 yesterday during the county commission meeting. This kept coming back again and again.
I'm baffled because this is money that we can't get now based on you. So I rest my case. Thank you.
Next on the list, Mr. Wayne Smiley.
So a handful of Calkins supporters in the audience. I rest my case. Is he a prosecutor? I mean, what is this exactly? Okay. Can I tell you what I think is going on here? I think there's a story that I think will illustrate this. My favorite pastor, preacher, like, you know, not I go to his church, but, you know, in the United States is Tim Keller. He preaches out of New York City. And he tells a story about a business executive that was at his church, okay? And this young lady who didn't really know there was a connection, but she went to this business executive, and she'd made a mistake. She was new in her job, and she'd made a mistake, okay? And, you know, it was probably going to cost her job. And the business executive said to her, hey, look, I'll take the fall for this. I'll take the blame for this. And she's like, what do you mean? Why would you do that? And he says, well, just don't worry about it. It's okay. No big deal. I'll take the fall. And she's like, but why? Why would you do this? Why would you take the blame for something that I did? And he said, look, since you pressed me, I wouldn't normally say this, but since you pressed me, I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, you know, one of the things that we do sometimes is we agree to take the blame for other people. Like Jesus took the blame for me. You know, I've got a lot of credit built up in this organization. You don't really have a lot. And if I take the hit, it's no big deal to me, but it'd be devastating to you. So no big deal. We'll let people think I did it. Now, I don't know that that's what's going on here, but that's what feels like it's going on here. It feels like Dan Schebler, who knows he's got the support of four commissioners and a great reputation and for being an excellent administrator, it probably somebody did something, maybe even a decision that made sense, but if it came out, it, you know, it would look bad for them. And he's just saying, organization, we'll take the hit. No big deal. Now, you want to say that's nefarious or malfeasance or something else? To me, that's leadership. 8:17 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
And going along Garcon Point Bridge, going northbound, see some delays as you're trying to approach the toll plaza. Once you get through the toll plaza, it'll check and clear the rest of the way towards I-10. Southbound has since cleared up, so good news there. You can drive that flowing smoothly all the way into Gulf Breeze. Gulf Breeze Parkway, we're still seeing some westbound delays backed up around the Animal Hospital at Tiger Point. Eastbound's checking and clear, so good news there. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So we get older, things get harder. It's a little difficult to go through what people, professionals, call the activities of daily living, you know, cooking, cleaning, opening things, getting around, and you start to need some help. and you start to realize that it'd be better if you lived in a place where people could give you that help. Now, this could be for you. This could be for a loved one. It could be more serious than that. It could be skilled nursing care. It could be memory care, dementia, Alzheimer's, those kinds of things. But with the pandemic, I know people have been very concerned about what's going on in a lot of these places and what kind of access will we have and what's the visitation rules and what sort of protocols they have in place. Okay, they're opening up. Things are changing, especially with the vaccination levels. Just it's a whole new world now with long-term care and assisted living and skilled nursing. And you need help figuring out which is the right place. And also, what are the rules? Because every place has a little bit different rules. Navigating those choices is what John Horton does. He's got a company that he started called Assisted Living Locators that is designed to help you at no cost make those choices and find the right place for you or for your loved one. So if you're in that situation and it feels a little bit overwhelming, that's what John's here to help with. AssistedLivingLocators.com. Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I got a text in here from somebody who I trust that says, not an official source, but somebody who I know and trust, says that there's an accident that's involving a school bus at the corner of Diamond Dairy on Highway 29. That's just south of I-10. That's where the raceway is on the left-hand side, or the west side. The middle lane is blocked, apparently, there. So if you're going through that vicinity, just understand that, you know, you may be in for some wait, and you may be in need of working around. You know, the fact that it's a school bus probably doesn't mean anything. It's, you know, school buses get into fender benders all the time, so I wouldn't worry about that. Just so you know, if you're heading into that vicinity, that you might be dealing with some additional backups this morning. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden to focus on families and the coronavirus rescue plan in his first address to a joint session of Congress tonight. He'll also touch on police reform, immigration, and gun safety. We'll have live coverage at 8. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will be sentenced for the murder of George Floyd this summer. Brandon Mitchell was on the jury that convicted him. He talked to Good Morning America about what went on in the jury room.
The deliberation room, it was pretty much, for the most part, it was straightforward. There were a few hiccups with, you know, terminology and understanding exactly what the instructions were for each case. But like I said, for the most part, we got in, we got out.
After a three-week trial, the jury deliberated just over 10 hours. Before finding Chauvin guilty on all three counts. Ben & Jerry's out with its first new flavor of the year, if you're interested in ice cream and flavors. Totally unbaked. Yum. It's a mix of chocolate and vanilla ice cream with two unbaked ingredients, chocolate chip cookie dough and brownie batter swirls. Sounds like some other ice cream flavor. Chocolate and vanilla, two unbaked ingredients.
Right.
Chocolate.
I don't understand. What do they mean unbaked? What are they referring to?
The cookie dough.
The dough.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Oh,
chocolate chip cookie dough.
Didn't
and
they
brownie,
miss their release date by 8 days?
Brownie batter. Swirls.
On this one?
This sounds amazing.
All right. Don't want to go down this road exactly. I don't like to spend extra money for the exciting ice cream. Give me some regular and I can fix it. I can doll it up the way I want to doll it up.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of, because I'm like that, you know, five quart bucket, you know, vanilla. I got a family to feed on this ice cream. so I'm just not into the specialty ice cream. When I go see the prices, I mean, I know they taste nice, but they don't taste three times as nice kind of always the way I look at it.
Yeah. I'm one of those people. I will invest my money into the specialty ice cream. If it's good.
Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud?
Give it some time.
I will spend the extra cash. But then there'll be other things that I won't spend extra money on.
Can I tell you, this is also my personality. I know if I taste it, I'm going to love it because I'm not a foodie exactly, but kind of, you know. And I mean, I really like good food. And that's going to make me want it. And then I'm going to wind up spending more money on the thing that I couldn't really afford to have in the first place. That's
how they hook you in.
I'm keeping myself from the ice cream seduction.
It's like that example. Hey, first taste is free.
Oh, no. No, thank you. No, keep your devil cream. I don't want it. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
All right, taking a look at that light at the intersection of Avalon and Garcon. It appears that we're just seeing some northbound delays stemming from that, but once you go north of that light, you'll check and clear the rest of the way towards I-10. Southbound flowing smoothly, by the way, between I-10 and Highway 98. I-10, I-110, checking and clear. And Andrew, I know you had just mentioned it. I do just want to follow up. Over at the intersection of Diamond Dairy Road and Highway 29 southbound, there was an incident involving a school bus. I'm seeing delays backing up just under the overpass of I-10. It doesn't appear that it's any longer than that, but just use caution. It's southbound. Middle lane is blocked. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I was talking the other day with Christina Leavenworth at Leavenrinke Realty, and it's just kind of amazing what she and her team did last year. 130 homes they sold. That's about 3 a week. And, you know, recently she's actually improved the offer on the if we can't sell it concept. It's now 14 days if your home qualifies and, you know, if you agree about a price. Obviously, both of those have to be met. But 14 days or she'll pay you $5,000. And you know, and what she said to me privately is, Andrew, it's 7 days. I mean, it's a week. We sell every home within a week. That's what happens. And which makes sense, because if they're selling 130 homes, you know, about 3 a week. And she was telling me, like, last week, or maybe a couple weeks ago, they had one home, three offers, one home, three offers, one home, 30 offers. The three homes they sold that week, okay? Three, three, and 30 offers. And here's what's interesting. People think, well, she's got to be dropping the price to sell these homes. No. No, it's knowing the market and getting the right price. Like, one, the 30 offer home was going to be $197, and the woman was going to do a FSBO. She's going to sell it herself. Came to Christina, and they're like, no, we can do better. So they got that one sold for $237, $40,000 more. So that worked out okay. You know, so the point is, if you really want to know what can you get for your home and you really want some folks that are going to be able to do that quickly, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158, 723-9158.
Some storm chasers got up close to a huge tornado yesterday near the city of Benjamin, Texas. Here's their reaction.
We are in the tornado!
In the tornado!
In the tornado! We deployed
power lines are coming down! Stop it right here!
Stop right here! We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
How bad does it have to be when you're a storm chaser and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa!
We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
Oh my God, that's phenomenal. I caught this on the ABC Morning News this morning, the World News this morning. All these names of these morning shows always sound the same to me. But it was pretty funny, and I thought I had to share that. But I will say it reminded me of something. You remember Terry? Remember Fireworks Terry? In the wheelchair, out in the street with his nephew, lighting off the Roman candle.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Two cars come. You got two cars coming two different ways.
Yeah, let the cars come through, and then go ahead.
Bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry. Put it in reverse. Oh, Lord. Lord, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. What you doing, Terry?
So which one is more emphatic, that one or...
We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
I think it might be the same guy. I love it. Back up, Terry. Oh, Lord, Terry. Oh, man. Tell me you didn't need that this morning. 8:30 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs, what do you got coming up, sir?
You'd never hear Jim Cantore screaming like that.
We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
I would love to hear it one time, though.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, if you've been listening to the show for 20 minutes, you know exactly what the topic today is going to be. I mean, this should come as no surprise to you whatsoever if you've been paying attention. A lot of times it's Mark actually gives us our topics kind of unintentionally. So here goes. Ben and Jerry's got a new ice cream flavor out. It's going to be $83 an ounce. That's the typical going price for Ben and Jerry's. My question to you, Which is better? Is it better to spend the money on the ice cream, or is it better to get the cheap ice cream? Is it better to have a lot of ice cream, or is it better to have the good ice cream? 437-1620. Do you or don't you, should you or shouldn't you spend the money for the better expensive ice cream? 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis, I know your answer. I know we disagree about this. This is going to be a fun one.
Okay, so picture this, right? Andrew and I are going to... It's been a great show. We decided to celebrate with some Dairy Queen. And you could get
You're talking my language now. Go ahead.
You could get like the $1.50 swirl cone. Great. But every single time, I'm getting that expensive Blizzard with all the premium ingredients in there. One of my go-tos is like the strawberry cheesecake flavor, which is like $5.50 per cup, but I'm shelling out $10 for it because I want it that bad. I go for the expensive ice cream, and it's like a guilty pleasure in a way because it is pricier, and the vanilla like swirl cone at Dairy Queen is just as satisfying, and it's like $1.50, but I love all of the stuff that goes into that ice cream. And I'm not the world's biggest dessert guy, but I love ice cream. So, yes, I go expensive when it comes to it. And, by the way, I do enjoy Ben and Jerry's ice cream, so I am not afraid to shell out that money.
All right, I see the terrain of this conversation already. I see how this is shaping up. So, 437-1620, let's stipulate to the facts. Okay, let's stipulate to the facts. I will stipulate that the expensive ice cream does taste better. You know, it's my last day. I get my final meal, and you're offering me either a bowl of ice cream out of the $5 bucket of vanilla, or you're offering me something out of the Häagen-Dazs or the Blue Bunny or the whatever. Duh. I mean, duh. I'm taking the Cold Stone. You know, of course. Okay, obviously. But I don't live in that world where I only have one meal yet to eat. I have many potential opportunities to engage with the flavor of the ice cream. And so my choice is, if the exotic, expensive, ridiculously overpriced ice cream brings me, I don't know, let's say 8 utils, to quote one of my college professors, of happiness, utilitarian, 8 utils of happiness, and the generic vanilla tub with what I might put on there, you know, some chocolate mix, a little coconut, some chocolate chips, maybe nothing, maybe some caramel, whatever, you know, that's not all that expensive either. That's only going to give me, I don't know, let's say half, let's say 4 utils of happiness. Okay, probably more like 5 or 6, but okay, let's say half as much. But I'm going to get 5 times as many encounters out of it. I'm way ahead. I'm at 20 now. So I am strictly utilitarian about mouth pleasure here. I am looking to maximize my dollars, and the way I maximize my dollars is by spreading out the happiness over a long period of time. 841 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I know that's not the end, but just the beginning of the conversation. Let's see here. Somebody says, more is better. Agreed. More is better. If you can have more times, spend the money. Somebody says much better quality with 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 1, 5 exclamation marks involved. Yeah, I mean, that's great if you're wealthy. I mean, good for you. You can flaunt your money. You know, that's fantastic. What would Dave Ramsey say, by the way, Davis?
Oh, he would probably say, don't even get the ice cream. If you're broke, don't even get the ice cream.
No, he would say, get the ice cream you can afford and will enjoy. Don't go into debt for your ice cream. 437-1620. Somebody here says, I just like ice cream. Nothing fancy, not expensive, as long as it tastes good. Agreed with that. Somebody here says, specialty ice cream, but I wait until it goes BOGO at Publix. Yeah, wait for the deal. Shop for the deal. I love ice cream, so yes, do it that way. Somebody here says, I don't know what this no is to. I get it. Don't spend money on the expensive ice cream unless you're Nancy Pelosi and you've got a $30,000 refrigerator or freezer to put it in. That's what they're getting at. That's funny. You did kind of captivate me on the Blizzard argument, though. Because at Dairy Queen, I am always tempted to go with the dip cone for $1.50, which I know I will enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I always go for the Blizzard. Now, I don't go over the top. But, the Blizzard is really... But see, here's the thing. That's an exotic experience. That's a once in a while. And I'm not going there, except I know in advance I'm willing to spend the money. Kind of like when you go out to a restaurant, you know you're going to tip. So you don't chintz on a tip because that's part of the experience, and you know you're not going all the time, but you know you go once in a while. But as a routine matter in my home, you know, what I buy out of the frozen food aisle? Mm-mm. No. It's because, again, I have a family, and we have a budget. And if I bring... What's a pint of ice cream? That will not even get half my family fed on ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I think a pint of Ben & Jerry's is, what, $4?
Yeah. That'll be enough ice cream just to get them angry at me.
And really, I haven't had Ben & Jerry's since college because I just really can't justify it that much, but I do at Dairy Queen get the specialty Blizzard.
And let me bring up another point that we haven't talked about just yet, and that is this. First bite, phenomenal. 10th bite, pretty good. By the 20th bite, what's the reality? You're just finishing it. You're just eating it. You're just finishing it, right? Now, maybe you make the case, no, that's why you buy the expensive stuff. And then you eat it 3 bites at a time. Who takes 3 bites out of the Blue Bunny? Come on, you know that's not true. Nobody gets the really good stuff and then only, I'm just going to, just a taste today. And then tomorrow, just it never works that way, right? 437-1624, 437-1620. Oh, somebody here says, I'd rather have other snacks, potato chips, chili cheese, Fritos, that kind of stuff. You know, well, that's the money you save buying the cheap ice cream. You can buy additional food as well. See?
You could add a little salty and sweet, put some pretzels in your ice cream.
You know where the analogy here goes, though, obviously, is beer. Right, which we may have to put off for a different day. But the analogy here is, you know, would you rather spend less and have cheap beer, or would you rather have more of a good beer? And you know, my answer on this is, I want as much good beer as I can afford, and I will never buy the bad beer because life is way too short for bad beer. I mean, cheap ice cream versus expensive ice cream, and cheap beer versus expensive beer. That's not the right comparison because cheap ice cream is still fantastic. Cheap beer is nasty. It's just not even worth eating or drinking. That's part of the... No, I didn't say there's a beer that's not worth drinking. Let me rephrase. No, I'm going to stick with it. 437-1620, Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
Oh, there are definitely beers not worth drinking, but that's apparently an argument I've lost in the past. I just won't go down that road right now. keep an eye on this accident. As you're traveling southbound Highway 29, right as you're approaching Diamond Dairy Road, there's an accident involving a school bus southbound in the middle lane blocking it. We're seeing delays mainly stem from the off-ramp delays affecting the off-ramp. If you're eastbound I-10 getting off on Highway 29, that off-ramp is delayed. So we'll keep an eye on this. It doesn't appear that the delays are backing up north of I-10. So again, just let us know if you have any updates for that. Also, Burgess Road, imagine it's because you're going into West Florida High School, but Burgess Road, east and westbound, showing delays between Palafox and Oakfield Road. But other than that, Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 in Gulf Breeze going westbound backed up to Baywoods Drive, but eastbound flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
So we all have cars, and we all have a relationship with our cars. And at a certain point, that relationship starts to turn. And you know it's time to replace that car. Now, you don't have to tell the car that you're going to replace her. It's fine. You know, but you know it's coming. So what do you do? Well, one way is to wait until you have to. Bad plan. Bad approach. Because then you're like stressed. It's a crisis. The car might have broken down. Whatever. No. Don't do it that way. But maybe 6 months to a year before you know you're going to want to replace the car, go shopping. Go looking. Go test drive, you know, to harken back to our prior conversation, while you're not hungry, right? And then you can really see objectively, what do I like and dislike about these various cars? And maybe you find just the one you want. Maybe you find the one you want, but it's a different model or whatever. You can shop for price later. That's the smart way to do it, so that you're not buying in a crisis. That's why I recommend Frontier Motors. Now, if you want to go to other places too, that's fine. Just include Frontier on your list. What you're going to find are 1-, 2-, 3-year-old cars that are in great condition, good prices, and you know low mileage, and you can check them out, sit in them, drive them, see what you like, and really make an informed decision when you're not stressed about it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
There was an FBI study of 160 active shooter incidents from 2000 to 2013, and they found that only one was stopped by an armed individual with a concealed weapons permit. In contrast, 21 incidents were stopped by unarmed citizens.
2013. You know, I listened to this clip a couple different times. I didn't even catch it till now. But Senator Tina Polsky yesterday arguing against the church school gun bill that J.R. Williamson had advanced in the House and got passed. And now the Senate has passed it yesterday, 24-16. 2013. Has anything changed in America in the last 8 years? How many more people have concealed carry permits? We had one just in December, where a group of people in Texas stopped a shooter that had killed people with their concealed carry. Come on, now, you got to do better than that. So, but even if it had only been the one, how often do we hear, even if it's just one life, right?
So it just makes me, us, you know, very uncomfortable that we're saying more guns, more guns, more guns, when we have had, is it 60 mass shootings so far this year? So let's just add more guns in a sacred place like a church, a temple, a mosque.
Are the mass shootings the byproduct of people having concealed carry permits and being able to carry them in a church that happens to be on or near a school? Is that what we're seeing? You're telling me that people who go through the process of getting a concealed carry permit, they're the source of these mass shootings? Or maybe they're the response to it?
I believe there are other ways to make those institutions safe. And we all know basically nowhere is safe. And that's because there's just too many guns in America.
Why do anything? We need to get rid of all these guns. It's amazing what people will tell you about their real beliefs when you let them. No place is safe. Everything's unsafe. Why do anything? Stay in your bunker.
We've got a gun obsession in this country. We've got a gun problem. We dwarf the rest of the world combined in the number of mass shootings and killings. If you look at the number of mass shootings this year alone, it's staggering.
Okay, and again, maybe that's the reason why you do something like this. Also, I do wonder about the data. I mean, I do think that we probably are the worst, but I always wonder, you know, how many of these remote villages in whatever a stand do we really find out about, right?
It has just never been proven that this concept that gun-free zones result in greater death is true. It's a fallacy.
Boy, Gary Farmer, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, he's so right. I mean, just this week alone, we've had 3 attacks on police precincts by gun. Come on. Seriously? Yeah, look at all of those attacks on the gun stores. Come on, just, you know, it's absurd. You're telling me that people are completely, completely oblivious to the defensive posture of their targets. Really? I mean, come on now.
Dirty Harry, Rambo, John McClane aren't going to be rising up in a church and taking out the bad guy. When you got more guns, you've got more danger. Period.
What do you mean, period? When I'm around my cop friends, I don't feel like there's more danger. I don't. When I go to a gun store, I don't feel like there's more danger. I feel pretty safe. What's wrong with you that you feel so unsafe around a physical device? And by the way, it's kind of interesting the examples he picks. Dirty Harry was a cop. John McClane was a cop. Rambo was ex-military. These are the people you don't trust? I know he's getting at the archetype, right? I get that. But it's funny that he brings up those examples of, you know, law enforcement and military are the people that he's afraid of, really?
These are religious institutions. They're supposed to be peaceful places of worship. Why anybody would bring a gun to a church is beyond me.
One, because other people turn them from being peaceful places of worship into scenes of mass attacks. This is how you keep the peace or thwart it if somebody engages in violence. And number 2, churches, you can already bring a gun to a church in Florida. Every church in Florida, every synagogue, every mosque, you can bring a gun there right now unless they have it posted that you can't. Or it happens to be on or near a school. This is supposed to eliminate that second category so that you can protect people in your church if you want to and if your church allows it. Why do you want to make this decision in Tallahassee? Why do you want to force people to live by your rules instead of allowing the congregations to decide for themselves? And listen, I'll agree there's a long-standing discussion in religious communities about the appropriateness of physical force, the use of violence, the use of guns. Fine. Not every Christian agrees with me. Not every Jew agrees with me. Fine. You make a decision for yourself and your congregation, not Tallahassee. So this past 24-16, good work, legislators. I am sure DeSantis is going to sign it. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, a nice feel-good story out of Tampa, Florida, of Michael Visacki. He is playing his first PGA golf tournament, which will tee off tomorrow at the Valspar Championship in Palm Harbor. He's from Sarasota. He's in his upper 20s. He has played on mini tours. If he won, he wins a couple grand here or there. Nothing in comparison to the PGA Tour. But golf is his life. And finally, after scratching and clawing and getting his way there, he qualified for his first PGA event. Again, it'll start tomorrow. And he went viral on social media because he was on camera crying on the phone to his dad, letting his dad know that he had made it. And so a nice feel-good story there. I certainly wish him luck. I'll be following his story for sure. All right, boxers, if you love Floyd Mayweather, then check it out. He's fighting again, coming out of retirement to take on Logan Paul. This will be in Miami on June 6th. Floyd Mayweather, of course, is undefeated. It'll be on Showtime pay-per-view, so shell out your wallet. And Conor McGregor sells his whiskey company for $600 million. It's called Proper 12. And that's your quick shot of sports. Now, for your traffic on the fives, as I take a look at Avalon Boulevard, it appears that we do have some minor buildup as you're traveling northbound towards I-10. I-10 and I-110 still checking and clear. And just a follow-up on that accident that took place just north of Diamond Dairy Road, southbound on Highway 29, it has since cleared up. So good news there. I'm David Allen with your traffic on the fives.
AM 1650 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. President Biden's speech tonight, which will be on news radio at 8 o'clock. You can listen here. How long will it go, Davis?
I'm going to say 45 minutes.
14 hours. No, I think you're probably about right. I don't think it'll be more than an hour. Will he pledge unity and then pursue disunity?
I do think that, yes.
I mean, since this is Obama's third term, it would be appropriate for that, since that's exactly what Obama did. Guns in church near a school or on a school campus, is that going to get signed by the governor?
It will.
Yeah, that's a done deal. The Constitution Revision Commission, apparently we're going to get to vote to eliminate it, will we?
Yes.
That's going to be very interesting. I think we probably will. Is this the last executive order, extending their emergency order by DeSantis the next 60 days?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. Will Dan Shebler keep his job?
Oh, yes,
definitely.
Will
Kevin Christman be re-added to the consideration list?
He will.
Yes.